Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Right to work. The political stars are aligned, making it all but certain that Missouri is about to become the country's 27th right to work state. Two others seem about to follow. Typically, right to work legislation forbids union contracts from requiring employees to pay union dues as a condition of employment. That requirement adds to union strength and funding. Opponents call it an attempt to weaken union membership and reduce labor's workplace bargaining strength. Proponents of right to work see it as an opportunity to grow business profitability and improve the state's business climate. On today's program, we'll look at both sides of the debate, but before we do, political reporter Joe Manis is with us to background the issue that has been actively debated in Missouri for decades. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Seems little doubt that it's going to happen this time.
Little doubt. If Democrat Chris Koster had won as governor, it would have been more in doubt because Koster had pledged he would not sign a right-to-work bill. Now, the General Assembly, though, in theory, has veto override strength for the Republicans in both chambers. It's just that sometimes people don't stick with the party line. But with Greitens, and Greitens had made clear during the primary and the general election that he did support right to work, it's a done deal. The only question is, there's two things. The only question is how quickly they do it. The General Assembly will be going in the early January. This is likely one of the first measures they'll take up as a show of strength and also to unify the Republican base and try to bring Greitens into the fold, because Greitens is not close to most of these Republicans. He doesn't know them. Okay, so this is an issue on which they're all together. So I predict probably at least by early February, it'll be done. The only question will be how expansive it will be. In some states, police and fire are exempted, because Republicans have always been trying to reach out to police and fire groups and they don't want to tick them off. Some of the bills that are introduced may be blanket, may be every union or association, which would include teachers, everybody. Others, bills may just do private sector. Some may do everybody except police and fire, maybe except police and fire and teachers. That's kind of what we're talking about, really, is just how big it's going to be, not whether or not it's going to happen.
Well, one bill has already been pre-filed. As I understand, we don't know exactly what its contents are yet, but yesterday was the first day of pre-filing.
Yes, and so I think it, as I said, everyone had expected it. This is one of the reasons that the governor's race had been so hot. Unfortunately for Democrats, frankly, Koster, who had been favored during most of the campaign, got buried by the Trump train. And so this is one of the first effects. Now, one of the big bones of contention for years, since this first came up in 1978, it was on a ballot. Missouri voters rejected it. That's one of the reasons they're going the legislative route, because they're not sure whether or not voters would go for it or not. Because there's a lot of Republican voters, especially retired union people, who do oppose right to work. Advocates of right to work claim that it would increase jobs. They dispute the critics' assertion that it would reduce wages. Now, I've looked at a bunch of studies. The bottom line is, and the Wall Street Journal even did a study, and they're not considered liberal. The bottom line is, as a rule, the general consensus is that it does tend to reduce wages by about 3% across the board. But in some of the states that have it, they had an influx of jobs. So in other words, there may be more jobs, but they won't pay as much.
We'll get in more detail on that in our next segment. This is a battle that has been typically and traditionally fought along party lines, though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Democrat versus Republican,
well,
obviously.
Well, and the main reason is this, is because unions have been active in elections for decades, and as a rule, they often support Democrats. Now, to make it clear, union dues, the unions have to segregate between the money that is used for political and the money that is just regular dues. And a worker now, this has been a decision that's 40 years old, can say, I only want to pay the administrative part of my dues. I don't want to pay any part of the dues that goes to politics. So it's incorrect if some say, well, they're doing it because they're using it for political spending, because they do use some of it for political spending, but the members can already opt out of that.
How much political clout do unions have in Missouri these days?
Not as much as they used to. I mean, union membership is about half of what it was. Okay, in 1978, it was about 16% of workers were in a union. Now it's about 8 or 9. And many of them are in public employee unions. The private sector unions have lost members over the years, in part because factories that used to employ a lot of unionized workers, they're gone. They're in China.
Well, or to right-to-work states, other right-to-work states.
Yes, in some cases. Now, in Missouri, there has not been as much defection, as some would say, if you look through the record, to southern states that have been right-to-work for a long time. There has been some, but not much. And frankly, in part because they could say companies that are going to move jobs out of a state, they can save more money by moving them to Mexico or China. Mm-hmm. So in many cases, in other words, there's not really the market there was for maybe in the 1960s or 70s when they would move from union states to right-to-work states.
And, of course, that gives the supporters of right-to-work legislation a lot of cover because they don't have the union opposition that they once had.
Yes. I mean, yeah. It does help corporations that often have been active in elections. And, frankly, with Citizens United, the Supreme Court ruling 6 years ago in 2010, that really has made it easier a little bit for unions, but actually more for corporations and wealthy individuals to spend huge amounts on campaigns, and in many cases without documenting where the money's coming from. So from that standpoint, business is in the driver's seat on this. I mean, and they know it. They're taking advantage of it.
Ed Finkelstein of the Labor Tribune is going to be with us on the next segment. In an editorial he wrote about this, he says it's time to roll up our sleeves and go to work. It seems to me like it's a lost cause.
Well, in some of the states that have adopted right to work, and we're talking some of the northern states, in some cases union membership has actually increased because they've become more aggressive at trying to persuade people to join unions and pointing out the benefits as they see it. But one of the problems for labor is if you cannot have payroll deduction of union dues, you're spending a lot of time just going around collecting the dues. I mean, there's a lot of time that maybe you'd spent on other things before that you have to spend just trying to keep the doors open, make sure your union gets the money from members. And in many states like Michigan and Indiana, which had had strong unions before, they are weakened. I mean, and Wisconsin. And two of those three states ended up being battleground states in the presidential, and the lack of union strength may have made the difference.
We by the next couple of months we'll have probably 29 right to work states in this country. I wonder if there's the prospect of all 50 states ever being right to work.
Well, probably not California. There's probably a few states, California, New York, where it probably won't happen. But again, while the inducement is that it attracts business. On the other hand, if you look at the record in the last 30 years, it just business just goes from state to state if they want to stay in the United States, because they can make more money by going overseas to Mexico and China and other states unless the tax laws are changed, which has nothing to do with right to work, but there's fallout there.
Creating even more uncertainty given the change of administrations in Washington. We don't know exactly how that's going to shake down, but that could have some influence on it, obviously.
Yeah, I think because, I mean, Trump made some comments during the campaign that he wanted to clamp down on all this outsourcing of jobs. And like today, he's in my old state of Indiana highlighting the fact that he'd made some calls and gotten Carrier to agree to keep at least some of the jobs that they were moving to Mexico back in the United States, and some of these were union jobs, but there was a lot of incentives, a lot of financial incentives that were given them in exchange for that. So it's unclear whether or not the bottom line is that helpful for the taxpayer.
All right, Joe Mattis, thank you so much for giving us right to work backgrounder here in the state of Missouri. You're going to be busy once again on this subject,
yeah.
Needless to say, in the months and weeks ahead. Joe Mattis, thank you. Coming up, is right to work legislation good for Missouri? If so, why? If not, why not? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Okay, well, we heard about the background of right to work in Missouri earlier. Now the pros and cons. Again, most political observers believe a Missouri right to work law is inevitable now that there's a Republican-controlled legislature and a Republican governor-elect who's on the record in favor. What would it mean for the state? Joining me to discuss it are Ed Finkelstein, the publisher of the St. Louis Labor Tribune. He opposes a right to work law. Joining us by phone is Daniel Meehan, the president and CEO of the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, who argues in favor of right to work legislation. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Dan, nice to have you back with us once again.
Great to be with you.
I'm going to start with Ed. Ed, you heard Joe Manish just a moment ago. Are you conceding that right-to-work legislation is going to be passed and signed this year?
I think it sounds like it's pretty inevitable. Right-to-work is a panacea, is being presented by the companies as a panacea for all the problems. Look, people are hurting in Missouri. We understand that. They've got problems. They're not making the kind of wages they should be making, would like to make. But the reality is right-to-work is an employer's law. It's not an employee's law. It's not a worker law. It's a law that's going to hurt workers because it is going to ultimately drive down wages. It's going to hurt families because family incomes are going to go down and won't be able to put as much bread on the table or buy the house you wanted to buy. It's going to hurt education because there's not going to be enough money going around. Missouri is doing such a great job in education right now. You know the old saying, hey, squirrel, to distract? Well, that's what right to work is. It's a hey, squirrel issue. To draw off attention from the real problems that Missouri has. It's not going to help Missouri. It's going to hurt Missouri. It's going to hurt Missouri workers. It's going to hurt our economy.
Dan Meehan, how do you feel the state will change as a result of passage of right-to-work legislation?
Well, first of all, I do agree with that the right-to-work will pass this year. It passed for the first time in the history of the state through the House and Senate last year. With fairly strong majorities. It was vetoed by Governor Nixon. All indications are the next governor, Eric Greitens, will sign it into law. He campaigned on it, and he's still in that position. So it will pass. It will help the state of Missouri as with our competitive footing. We've seen other states that have turned right to work encounter job growth, not hurt workers, not hurt families, but job growth. And the numbers are such that if you look at the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, right-to-work states and non-right-to-work states had the same wage growth from the last 10 years. So if you want to counter our problems in the economy and our stagnant growth in the state of Missouri, where we ranked 42nd in job growth from 04 to 14, 43rd in state GDP growth, and 37th in per capita income growth, if you want to fix that, right to work is one tool that we can use to get there. It's not a panacea. It's not a silver bullet for all the problems that we face or all the challenges that we face in Missouri. What it is allowing people to take a job without being forced to pay money to organized labor, to a union. And that money is going to pay for labor bosses. It's going to pay for political campaigns to the tune of roughly $16 million that labor unions spent in the last election cycle. And we just think that the individual should have the right to choose whether they want to belong to a union or not.
There are all sorts of numbers out there. Ed, I'll take this to you and then back to Dan. All sorts of numbers out there, for and against in supporting right to work. A lot of them are fairly negative. Joe has alluded to that during the earlier segment.
Well, let's make an issue first clear. Mr. Meehan made a number of misstatements, which is typical in the support for right to work. First of all, no one's forced to join a union. Union members, workers have a right to not join the union. Secondly, they also have a right not to, as Joe pointed out, they have part of their dues go to political issues. The unions need to do is because it's taking care of overhead. They have staff, they have offices, they have secretaries. Every business has that. And so union dues become the need to support the organization. And when members are there, even if they're a member of the union, they can still withdraw from the union. They don't be part of the union. Federal law allows that to happen. The reality is nobody is forced to join a union. Now, when you have a union security clause in a contract, that clause is there because the workers accepted it. They voted on it, and management negotiated it. As a matter of fact, this law will not only hurt workers, it hurts management as well, because management won't have the right to negotiate over that issue. Unions want that in the contract because there's strength in numbers, and they want to make sure that they have the financial ability to support their members. And when he talks about union bosses, that's another hey squirrel issue because it sounds good. But the reality is union leadership is elected every 3 years. I don't see company CEOs being elected by their workers. If a union leader is not doing a good job, he gets thrown out, and I've seen it happen over and over again. So no one's forced to pay. The reality is that they have the right not to join.
Dan, what about Ed's comment that this whole thing is bad for management as well?
The numbers prove him false. It's not bad for management. We've seen it in other states where states have grown. You look at the Southeast, which are generally right-to-work states. Their numbers are growing in job creation. They're growing in population. Companies are locating there and expanding there. That's the reality of what it would mean to be a right-to-work state. You look at states like Michigan and Indiana, which recently went right-to-work, and they've seen growth, robust growth. And if the simple fact is that when you're looking to locate a company, it's a question that is on the company's mind, the site selector's mind, anyone involved in economic development. Are you right to work or are you not? We know for a fact that we're only getting about 60% of the deal flow that we should be getting in manufacturing jobs and manufacturing opportunities, because people just know that Missouri is not a right to work state. Those opportunities are going elsewhere, and where those opportunities are locating, it's better for workers, it's better for management, it's actually better for labor unions.
And there he goes again, making total misstatements. The reality is, when he said companies look at right to work as being an issue, if you look at Site Selection magazine, area development people, companies who hire organizations to find sites for them, right to work's not even in the top 10. The number one area is the issue of labor, quality and availability, transportation, quality of living. And so right to work is not an issue for location of people. The reality is that workers have to earn a living, and right to work tends to suppress. Now, I agree with him. It is an employer's law. When I said it hurts management because they can't negotiate over the issue of having a union shop clause. But it is an employer's law. While it depresses workers' wages, it also depresses their ability, their safety conditions in plants. It depresses the pension plans, if any. There are more low-paying jobs in right-to-work states than there are in the free states. There are more people dependent on in unemployment than in the right-to-work states, unemployment benefits and other issues that have to deal with that in the right-to-work states. So the reality is, in right-to-work states, wages are depressed. As a matter of fact, it's about $6,000 a year less in workers' pay, which comes out to about $2.94 an hour less that workers make on average in a right-to-work state. And if you look at the whole family's income, it's over $8,000 a year less. So this is an employer's law, no question about it. It's not a worker's law.
Dan, what about that? Typically, in right-to-work states, do wages and benefits go up or down or stay the same?
What we've seen from the Bureau of Economic Analysis is that from 05 to 15, for that decade that we just went through, the right-to-work states saw an average change percentage of wage increase of 7.7%. Non-right-to-work states during the same period saw a percentage change of 7.7%. They were identical. So that's reality. That's what's really going on out there. And what we want to do is give the workers a chance to choose whether they want to be in a union or not. Good unions don't need compulsory dues, and bad unions don't deserve them. So it's up to the union to make sure that they're doing the right thing for their workers that they're supposedly representing, and then the workers will support them.
As I said before, they don't have to join the union. They have a right not to join the union. And if they decide not to, if that union shop clause is in the contract, then they do pay a minimum dues in order to support the efforts of the union. After all, the union negotiates wages. If an employee gets fired and it's been illegally fired, the union takes the issue to court. Those monies come from the union dues. For a non-member, they'd have to do it for a non-member as well. Federal law requires that the union supports everybody in that plan if there's a contract that includes non-members. As a matter of fact, the union is the only organization that I know of that is forced by federal law to represent everybody, whether they're members or not. With all due respect to Mr. Meehan, he doesn't provide services to anybody that's not a member of his organization. The American Bar Association, if you don't pay your annual dues to the Bar Association, you don't practice law. And so the reality is paying dues is nothing more than supporting the organization that negotiates for you, that helps win benefits for you, that gets a pension plan, gets better health care. The reality is the union as an entity is its strength. Now, why do they push this issue of letting members not join the union? Because they want to divide the membership. If you have solidarity, you have the ability to negotiate. Take the issue with the retail clerks recently here in St. Louis with Schnucks. Schnucks offered an initial contract that would have taken away benefits, practically no wage increase, no health care would have taken away health care. The members rejected, over 3,000 members voted, rejected the contract by almost 90%. They went back to the bargaining table and they got a decent contract. Had that not happened, had they been doing that as an individual, it would have never happened. And so it's the unity of the membership. And that's why employers want to see this law, want to stop dues coming in so the unions don't have the financial ability and have a divided membership, which would give the employers all the strength.
Do you want to respond to that, Dan?
Absolutely. If workers don't have to join a union today anyway, then why is this a big deal? Why can't we just let Right to Work happen? Because they are being coerced to join right now. And if you keep coming back to saying you don't have to join a union, then this should not be an issue.
Wait a minute, Mr. Meehan. Let's be correct about that. It's an employer's law. The employer wants to have this law so that they can split the union, they can divide the union. And it's the strength that they don't want.
The union has every right to exist. We're not doing anything to jeopardize the existence of unions. What we're saying is it's up to the individual to make the choice of whether he or she thinks that that union is representing his or her best interests or not, and therefore will support them financially. Members of the Missouri Chamber make that choice on their own. There's no compulsory dues to the Missouri Chamber, so I don't think there should be for an organized labor unit.
Should there be exemptions, Dan Meehan, in Right to Work legislation for some of the first responder types and teachers, people like that?
We'd have to see the details of that. I don't know. The approach we're taking right now is Right to Work should be the law of Missouri, just like it is in 26 other states, and like you said earlier, it's going to probably be 29 or north of 30 by the time the year ends, in 30 other states, that is.
Ed, your thoughts on that, the first responders, teachers, and other people who often exempted from the Right to Work legislation?
That's a sop to those unions in order to get their support politically. I mean, that's all it really is. The reality is the Right to Work law will impact all workers. And so they know that the police and firefighters have a special place in people's hearts, and so they want to let them slide on this issue. But if you look at the statistics overall, there's no question that this hurts workers. It drives their wages down. It drives their benefits down. It's an employer's law. It's not a worker's law. And the reason the unions are fighting it so much is because they want to maintain the ability to support their members. If they don't have the financial ability to do that, that decreases dramatically.
What happened to unions? 30, 40 years ago, the membership was two or three times, four times more greater than it is now. What happened?
What happened is that the industrial plants moved to Mexico. They moved out of the country. And so all those jobs were union jobs. And as a result, those kind of manufacturing jobs left. And that's been the biggest impact on labor and on the effect of unionization. But let me make a point about unionization. In Missouri, and Joe made the point, the unionized workforce is only about 9% of the total workforce. Why is industry putting such emphasis on 9% of the workforce? 91% of the state is already right to work. I mean, if it was such a magnitude that it impacts the total workforce, it would be another issue. But they're doing this for only 9% because the union impacts non-union members as well. You have the union wages provide a floor, and if you've got a company down the street that's doing the same thing that a unionized company is doing, they're going to pay wages close to the union wage and benefits to keep their good people. And so the reality is the union overall raises the floor for everybody, and that's what companies don't like. They want to be able to say to employers, you do this, you'll take this wage or go find another job, and that's the reason that the unions need to be here.
Dan, let me just ask you on this issue of union membership in general. I think a lot of people would concede that the growth of the middle class, particularly after World War II and since, until more or less recently, was a result of union membership and the wages that the unions generated. That developed a strong middle class, which is now very much on the wane. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if I'd agree with all that. There definitely was a time, and there was a supply and demand issue here where people wanted to join a union. They wanted a union to represent them. That time has come and gone, just like you were just discussing, with union membership down below 9% and still trending down. The point is that other states that have done this, more than half of the states, the trend is towards right to work. It's about an individual's choice. It's not about anything else. And it's not about having to be forced to join an organization to get a job. That's what this comes down to, is if we're going to send that message worldwide that you don't, workers in Missouri aren't encumbered by this archaic regulation. And other states are doing it. The states that have done it are growing. Their wages are at the very least holding their own with other states that haven't done it. We need a growth policy in the state of Missouri. We need to change the trajectory that we're on to be open for business and open for those opportunities that we're currently missing.
And right to work is not the only solution. The point you make, Mr. Meehan, is very good.
Solution. There's plenty of other solutions as well that we can do.
Like, well, then let's get the state
started. Okay, one at a time.
And also pass common sense civil justice reform. These types of things that we are in the lower echelon compared to other states with. So there's plenty to do. We believe that the Greitens administration is on the right track towards that. It's got a legislature that is committed to job growth. We've seen that the last few years, and we're excited about the opportunity to change things around for Missouri and have us perform at our potential instead of being held back by archaic regulations like right to work.
Well, this one regulation has nothing to do with it. The reality is there's so many other issues in Missouri that we need to take care of.
The reality is that other states that have done it are growing.
And Missouri is growing, too. We produced almost 18,000 new jobs since the beginning of the year. So Missouri is growing as well. It has nothing to do with right to work. The reality is some of these other states are growing. For example, some automobile plants located down south, and they did it not because they were right to work, but because they got incentives. Toyota got over a $500 million incentive to build their plant. Volkswagen in Tennessee got $300 million in incentives to build their plant there. In Missouri, when there was an effort to get a $10 million incentive for the car plant in Kansas City, the governor had to plead with the legislature to let that go through or they would have considered moving. And so Missouri is backwards in many ways,
yeah,
and that's the responsibility of the state legislature to deal with
it. And you want to talk about the automotive industry? According to the Center for Automobile Research, the highest paid automotive workers in the nation are at the Mercedes-Benz plant in Alabama, and that's a right-to-work state.
Gentlemen, our time is winding down. I want to give you each an opportunity to kind of state your case once more in about 30 seconds each. Ed, we started with you, so I'll ask you to go first and then Dan Meehan go second. But again, our time is limited.
Okay. Right to work is an employer's law. And as a matter of fact, recently a couple of state legislatures made that point. Senator Ed Emery, a Republican from Lamar, said that talking about average wages going down, he says, sure, they'll go down. And just recently, Senator Bob Onder in a radio debate about a week ago said, yes, of course, right to work improves the power of the bosses. The reality, right to work is an employer's law. It's not a worker's law. Workers will suffer. Families will suffer. We don't need right to work in Missouri.
Dan
it's
Mann
bad
about,
for Missouri.
Dan Mann, 30 seconds.
I'm happy that I did not have to pay anyone to come to my job today, and no Missourian should be forced to join a union and pay fees in order to hold a job. They shouldn't be forced against their will to pay union dues, and they shouldn't be forced to join a union that they don't necessarily believe in their policies or just for the privilege of having a job and holding down a job. And Right to Work has been proven effective in other states to help with job growth and help with attracting opportunities for those states. We need to join that crowd.
Got to stop it right there. Dan Meehan and Finkelstein, thanks very much for being with us and bringing this to the fore. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.